XP. The phone from his home. It's the WIP afternoon show with Ike Spike and Fritz. We're at Chickies in Warrington. You can join us at Chickies in South Philly on Monday and every Monday, 6 p.m. for the Brandon Graham Show. Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles. Elliot Shore Parks joins us now, as he does every Friday at 3 o'clock. Elliot is brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. How are we feeling, Elliot?
What up? How you guys doing today?
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, there was a rumor yesterday started by Jack that you were mad at us.
Yes.
So there were two things we could talk about. If we just want to do it over the air, we can just talk about two things. Are you ready?
Sure. Let's do this first.
All right. So one. What's the issue with the suit you got here? You're constantly ripping the suit that I wore.
I thought you looked great.
I thought you looked awesome.
I thought I looked great too, right? Like he brings up that it's linen. Like, you know, what is it with you in conforming to, you know, fashion, I guess, rules here? Like, if
well,
it looks
it's,
good.
It's not about conforming. It's that it is after Labor Day. It's after Labor Day, and you were wearing a light linen suit in Philadelphia. It's against, like, the rules.
Right. So you're conforming. Yeah.
What's that? So wear jams and a tank top in December. Might as well.
Maybe I will. Who knows? But all right, number two, and here's my larger issue.
Yeah.
So Jack thinks I'm mad at him, right? Uh-huh. Elliot's not talking to me, da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And he puts that number two on the list behind Eli Manning not going in the Hall of Fame. Like, we've been friends for years here. The concern here was, well, he was concerned, but not concerned enough to put me number one.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Another complaint with the rankings.
I really had Eli. I wanted to rant about Eli, and I needed a number two.
Yeah,
I didn't want to do Eli first.
Yep.
Looking back, I definitely could have done Eli one.
Yeah, it's good to know our friendship of years comes behind Eli, man.
Well, remember, Elliot, when the Zach Bryan concert happened, Jack didn't even want to hang out with you in the parking lot.
That's true.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
But saw him inside.
All right.
No, made up for it.
All right, let's talk about the Eagles. Let's talk about the Eagles. All right,
Elliot. Not the summer anymore.
Elliot, so we opened up the show, and I said I had been more disappointed in the offense than the defense so far, and the offense needs to carry the team. Where do you sit on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the offense and the defense have basically been at the same level through the first two games. You know, the offense has more talent, so they should be way better, but they've not been way better. If we want to talk about the defense giving up that game-winning touchdown at the end against the Falcons, and we're going to prioritize that final drive, then we also need to prioritize the two final drives by the offense, which were both disappointing and filled with mistakes and didn't put the game away. So you're right. The offense is supposed to carry the team. If you want to say which has been better, you might lean the offense, but the offense has not outplayed the defense to the level it's supposed to.
So a question about yesterday's press conference for Vic Fangio. Devin White is the most talked about one-year contract linebacker ever. But I do think it's fascinating because we all assumed, given what happened in training camp, that he would be on the field. So Devin White said in the locker room that he was ready to do anything and, you know, he's handling it well and it's disappointing, but he's there, whatever. Then during the press conference, Vic Fangio said he's healthy, ready to go, but he made an interesting comment. He said special teams is part of that. What did you take that to mean? Because I didn't know if that meant that Devin White wasn't willing to play special teams or what that meant. What did you take that to mean?
So I think there's a couple things at play. One, Devin White didn't take any special team reps throughout all of training camp. So the unit that they worked with all training camp, right, and in the preseason and all that, did not have Devin White on it. And so I think that is part of it. I think that if you're going to take a linebacker off of the special teams unit for Devin White, like, that could impact that unit. Devin White has played special teams not much in his career at all. I think he maybe has 100 snaps there, and he said earlier this week the only time he remembers playing it was during a COVID game when somebody was hurt that season. So he's not have extensive reps there. From being around Devin White, talking to him the last 2 weeks, I don't get the sense that they're asking to play special teams and saying no. I think that they don't want him on the special teams unit because the special teams isn't good, and they have those guys there that have been rep there. I think he's not playing because Vic Fangio doesn't want to put him in the game and it doesn't trust him to be ready. I mean, he was a healthy scratch. So I think it's more about that than the special team.
Well, no, Vic Fangio brought up special teams.
Yeah, it was Vic Fangio that brought up the special teams.
No, no, but right. But I'm saying, like, I think the reason he's not dressing is twofold. One, because he can't play special teams, right?
Whoa. He can't play special teams? Why?
Could he physically do it? Yeah,
Yes, physically.
Well,
yes.
Well, what I mean more is he didn't take any like the unit has been preparing. All
bro, I played special teams for 9 years. It ain't rocket science.
I'm not disagreeing.
But my point is, my point is, because you're making it seem as if special teams is too hard for him to get out there and be effective. That's BS.
No. What I'm trying to say is, Vic Fangio does not want to play him on defense, right?
Right.
So and then to be active, you have to be great. It's like you have to be a great special. If you're not going to play on defense,
who's the great special teams player on our team? No. You have to want to play special teams. You have to. Let's not dance around this. You have to want to play special teams. And what I'm gathering from it, and if I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong, and I'll just be wrong about it. It seems as if special teams is beneath him to play. It's beneath him to play. He came in viewed as a starter. He's a former Pro Bowler, all pro, a Super Bowl champion. He lost his starting job. I don't think he thought he was in a competition for his starting job. And now he's not playing special teams. Vic Fangio mentioned that not because it's not something he can't do. It's because it's something he won't do. If I'm wrong, I'll admit that I'm wrong. But you can't tell me a number 5 overall pick, number 6 overall pick, an athlete at his position. Special teams are so watered down right now. Any one of y'all can play special teams. Don't tell me he can't go down there and run down the field. I mean, they don't even make tackles on kickoffs anymore, but once a game. And punting. All you do is hold up a blocker and then run down the field and make a tackle. If he can't do that, then I can see why he's not out there playing defense.
So
if he can't do that.
I agree he could play special teams. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
What I'm saying is if they're not going to play him on defense, like if Vic doesn't feel comfortable with him out there on defense, then to be active on game day, his only role in theory would be special teams. And while he could do it, you're right. Physically, I think he could do it. If they've been repping players there for, you know, a month or whatever, like, and he's not going to play on defense, I don't get the desire.
Is he not better than every linebacker that plays on special teams?
As a linebacker?
Yes, Elliot, as a linebacker.
Well, I think you mean are we talking as a special teams player or as a linebacker?
It's really not all that different, to be honest with you. It's really not all that different. So my other concern and question would be, as it pertains to Devin White, is who would I want to go in there and play if one of the starters go down? Don't you want Devin White to be the one off the bench?
I agree with you. I think Devin White should probably start. Like I think the linebacker play dipped in the second week. So I am with you on saying that if Nakobe or Zach Bond go down, I would want Devin White to go in. But clearly, by them making him a healthy scratch, I think it is related to the fact that Vic doesn't trust him in there on defense. Like, I think that's the first domino that falls when it comes to him not dressing.
So, CJGJ has had a foot injury.
Get this guy on the field, man. He's collecting a check.
Yeah,
I play football or not.
Yeah.
And he's healthy. That's the craziest part. He's healthy.
By the way, I couldn't play special teams.
The bigger takeaway from the Devin White thing and also the Bryce Huff thing is, I don't know how the communication between Fangio and these defensive players is going. It feels like whenever I talk to a defensive player about, you know, what did Vic say? It's, well, you know, I talked to the position coach. Or, you know, I'm talking about like an on-the-field thing. But when you consider what happened in Miami, I do think it's worth monitoring here that it feels like these guys like Bryce and Devin and them, I don't get the sense they're having these, you know, one-on-one heart-to-heart conversations with Vic.
Oh, boy.
Only 2 games in. It's great. So, speaking of the defense, CJGJ has been listed as did not practice for 2 days with a foot injury. Do you have any more intel on that, and do you think there's any chance he plays on Sunday?
So, he was in the locker room today, and he was packing to go to New Orleans, which was interesting to me. Now, maybe he's just packing just in case, but he said he didn't want to speak to reporters. He said, I'll see you Sunday, and he was packing to go to New Orleans. So, that obviously would be an indication maybe he is going to play, but he hasn't practiced the last 2 days. They've been putting other people in his reps there on first team. So I don't think he'll play, but I certainly have more hope than I did before I entered locker room today.
Well, you know he wants to play.
Yes.
It's his former team.
Yep. Do we?
Yeah, he's actually missed both games against the Saints since he's left due to injury. So this will be the third year in a row where his team would play the Saints, but he's missing because of injury. So I'm sure he does very much want to get out there.
The Joel Embiid of the NFL.
Yep, exactly.
So we do not expect A.J. Brown to play on Sunday. Is there any word on when he could come back? Has there been anything at NovaCare about that?
No, I mean, I don't expect him to play on Sunday, like you said. I think at this point the Tampa game is in question as well. And the bye week sets up kind of nicely with it being the next week, so you wouldn't miss another game there. But, I don't expect A.J. to play this Sunday.
And last thing on one of the press availabilities this week, we had talked to you a couple of times about Nick Sirianni getting a little testy a couple of times. And one of the things he did get testy on was the decision not to go for it on fourth down after Saquon dropped that pass. And there was the question about with the analytic thing or the gut thing. Ultimately, and he answered as sort of both. Ultimately, if you had to guess, why do you think he did not go for it on fourth down? What was the reasoning behind the decision?
I don't think he thought the offense would execute it. And ultimately, I think part of this is, did he want the ball in Jalen's hand in that spot? Because if he felt the offense was clicking at a high level, Jalen was playing at a high level, I think he would have been more inclined to go for it. But because he didn't, and you look at the offense has executed in the red zone this year. There's been fumbles. There's been near interceptions. There's been all types of mistakes. There was a drop by Saquon. I think he looked on fourth down and said, is this offense going to get the play done? And I think he probably decided correctly that they wouldn't, and that's why he kicked it.
Interesting. Especially because he was aggressive in the first half. Now, they didn't convert in the first half on fourth down, so maybe that goes into it somehow. Elliot, any big plans for New Orleans? For you?
No, so I have Go Birds Radio tomorrow from 1 to 3. Won't get into New Orleans, I think, until 11 tomorrow night. So,
Oh, wow.
Get in, go to the hotel, get ready. The game's at noon on Sunday, so, get ready for the game.
You pack your linen suit?
I did. I might just wear that linen suit for every single game this year at this point. You won't catch me at a pregame show without that linen suit on. Yeah.
You know I love you, Elliot. There he is. Elliot Shore Parks. You can listen to the Go Birds podcast every day. It comes out every day now in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. A lot of interesting stuff going on there. The Devin White thing is a funny little story.
Yeah, a healthy body. It doesn't make sense to me other than you don't want to play special teams.
I think the point that you said there, the idea that N'Kobe Dean, who's been hurt, a considerable amount, is probably going to get hurt at some point this year. God willing, he doesn't. But that Devin White isn't even available if one of the starting linebackers goes down.
That's the crazy thing to me.
And the other thing that Elliot said there is the thing to keep an eye on that the players don't like Vic Fangio.
Oh, man.
Dude, we're 2 weeks in. You can't wear out your welcome in training camp in 2 weeks.
Well, when it happens is when the defense isn't playing well.
Right.
So when you're in the summertime and you're learning the defense and you're trying to earn the coaches' respect and trust, you're okay with the old school coaching and keeping it real with you and shooting it straight to you. Well, when you get to the real games and the results aren't what you hope they are and the coach is still harping on you the same way he normally does, he's going to even double down on it even more for some of those guys. Now you wonder, can they handle, tough coaching or whatever? I don't know, man.
It's good.
Yeah.
You're so disgusted.
Well,
with
I'm just saying,
players.
I can't tell the coach not to coach.
Right. This is how he is.
You hired him to come in here to be a certain type of coach. He's got a coach.
Well, also, those guys aren't good. What are you so? At some point, you got to be like, all right, well, we're something's going wrong.
Right.
Something's going wrong with us, too. Like, maybe we should just listen to the guy.
It ain't just him, exactly. Right. Yes. So I don't know, man.
Got to get you in there.
Oh, no, man. No, we got to get Seth in there, man.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Man.
Yeah.
Seth, linebacker coach. Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
DC.
Yeah, see? Everybody like, yeah,
there it
Seth
is.
Seth in there, man.
Oh, I meant you playing.
No,
that definitely ain't happening. 215-592-94. I couldn't even put the uniform on, bro.
The one that I have of yours is very tight. Yes. Very tight. 215-592-94-94. Andrew and Ben Salem is back here on WIP. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
What's up, brother?
What's up, Drew?
Hey, first time caller. I just want to say, oh man, sorry, got a little nervous there. I got nervous.
All right, you know what? We can't do it. That's the second time Andrew's been on and choked. Are we going to go
Come
back
on,
to
Andrew? Andrew
I put him
pull
on,
yourself man. Together.
I put him on hold. Do I bring him back? Because the first time he was at the drive-thru.
I'll give him another shot.
Come on, Andrew.
Okay.
I know Ike's intimidating.
Yeah. All right, Andrew. All right, Andrew. Andrew, I need you to. Yeah. I need you to take a deep breath.
Yeah, yeah.
I need you to
just talk to me. I'm the nice
no,
one.
No, no, no. I'm giving him pep talk. Shut up.
See?
Yeah. All right, Andrew. I need you to get yourself together. You're part of the show right now. You're on the radio. Yes. All of the Delaware Valley is depending on you.
Speak your truth.
Give your take, Andrew. Let's go.
Bryce Huff.
Stinks.
I am a Jets fan.
Oh, you're a Jets fan?
Hold on. I root for the Eagles as well. My wife is an Eagles fan. They're before all that.
Okay.
I'm a Jets fan.
Okay.
I have a theory.
On Bryce Huff.
On Bryce Huff.
What is it?
I believe that he might be the victim of something that we were a victim of. Solomon Thomas, left guard, we picked him up, thought it was going to be a great deal for us. He was terrible. He was horrible. You want to know why we thought he was going to be good? Because he was next to Trent Williams over in San Francisco.
So you're saying Bryce Huff was next to more talented players, which increased his productivity.
Yes. Correct, because not being a homer, but we do have a very good defensive line, good depth, and we did only really use him on pass rushing snaps. So now you're asking him to do a whole lot more with perhaps a little less around him.
A little less?
Yeah. Well, no. you know, eventually we'll see what happens with Bryce Huff the rest of the year. But if he is this sort of bust that it appears he could be, whoever made this evaluation and decision, not ultimately how he makes the decision, but whoever evaluated him, it is one of the biggest misses of all time. Now, you also have to look at the guys that he's next to, in that Jordan Davis has been disappointing, and Jalen Carter at a good first half of the first game, but ultimately I think
same Monday.
We've been disappointed in them. So his Bryce Huff's success on some level is dependent on those guys being good, and I think we all hoped, fingers crossed, that Jalen Carter would be the second coming of Fletcher Cox in a way, and he has not been that.
Perhaps. I also have another question to pose to you guys in relation to coaching.
Oh, you feel good
because it's something that I bring up to different people when I'm talking.
Okay.
Right.
So, last year, both of our teams had stuff go wrong with them for different reasons. Do you think that if you guys had Robert Saleh and then we had Nick Sirianni, things would have been different? Because I think for my team, that if my team had Nick Sirianni, it would have been an absolute historic crumbling. Because let me tell you something, we did not crumble.
Hold up.
When
Andrew, time out. Time
out. Here we go.
First of all, we don't even want Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
Well, I was a DC.
Yeah.
So
hold on. Andrew, Robert Saleh is a terrible head coach.
Yeah.
The Jets had a terrible season.
That's seven wins.
I was there for the entire thing. It was embarrassing. It was an embarrassing season. Your head coach is clueless. Now, ours might be too. I have no idea. But I don't think flip flopping Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh loves to sound tough in press conferences, but kisses his players' asses behind the scenes. This is like he's a bad head coach.
Well,
he's a bad head coach. He's a horrible head coach. Now, again,
I don't know if I would say horrible.
He's horrible.
If he was a horrible head coach, that team would have absolutely crumbled last year.
They did.
They did not.
They won seven games or six games.
The offense was terrible because we had terrible quarterbacks.
And that's true.
877-337-6666. Yeah,
yeah. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
If you have the best defense in the NFL, which you guys claim that you did.
I'm assuming the fans.
The WFAN number.
Well, hold on. Hold on. Andrew. You have Breece Hall, who's one of the best running backs in the NFL. You have Garrett Wilson, who's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. You have the most talented defense in the NFL. And it fell apart. Robert Saleh is a bad head coach. So I don't think anything is different if you flip-flop Nick Sirianni and Robert Saleh. The Jets would have still sucked, and the Eagles would have also fell apart.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
None of us want Robert Saleh.
No. Nobody wants Robert Saleh. He's not even going to have a job next year. Yeah. Unless he does what Jack says and they win the Super Bowl.
But call back soon, Andrew.
Yeah. Well, we gave him a lot of chances.
He did.
He gave him a lot of chances.
Once he got over his nervousness, he started rolling.
He was a good caller.
Yeah.
He was wrong, but he was a good caller. Coming up next, I think we need this. We have a guy on the phone who is going to get everybody pumped up and ready for the game on Sunday.
Rios?
When I do that and you give away the tease, it's not as good as when you let me tease it.
Yeah, pipe down over there.
What are you doing? Go back to the first segment.
I'm having a great show today.
Is there any other tease you want to ruin for me?
Back to the first segment.
All right.
Yes.
We'll get you pumped up next. Who is more responsible for the Eagles winning the game on Sunday? Is it the offense or the defense? Who have you been more disappointed in, the offense or the defense? 215-592-9494. Get you pumped up for the game next, or we have somebody who will do it. This is the WIP Afternoon Show from Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies and Pete's in Warrington. Join us here today for the grand opening of the new patio, live music, and lots of giveaways tonight.